listening to.
Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. One of the hardest parts about living with anxiety is the self-doubt that comes along with it. Adam Eckhoff, guitarist and vocalist of Oh Are They, has spent years trying to stave off the voices in his head that tell him he's not worthy. It's easy to say, don't beat yourself up, or give yourself some kindness. But in those moments of anxiety, the feelings of inadequacy overpower the truth. I am worthy. I can do this. I have so much to offer. These are the things Adam tells himself when he's writing and performing music, and in his everyday life. As long as he acknowledges his feelings and stays in the present, the self-doubt takes a back seat behind his swelling guitars and serrated screams.
My name is Adam Eckhoff. I play in the band Oh Are They. I play guitar and sing, and pretty much played music since I was a little kid. Played all sorts of instruments in school. Started with mostly piano, played in band in high school, and then from there got introduced into the punk scene. I started out playing in more pop punk bands when I was younger. It's interesting, you know, that that's kind of where I started. And, you know, this band is a lot different from that. One of the things I struggle with is anxiety. I had a little bit of anxiety joining your podcast today. And that certainly has its impacts on playing music. It's something that I definitely struggle with. Being in front of people, playing with people, that can all add into it.
So the record's called Guilt, and I wanted to maybe dig into that a little bit, guilt and shame, and how those maybe feed into mental health as well, especially when folks are dealing with depression and also anxiety.
The record kind of organically went in that direction. I started to notice as we were writing the songs that they were all hovering around a certain theme, and that theme kind of made itself apparent as we went through the writing process. And it was also inspired by the cover art. The art of the record was a painting that I was gravitated to at a flea market and through a whole stack of old magazine clippings. I fell in love with it, put it up on the wall, and I just kept staring at it. When you think of guilt, you think of a clear-cut relationship between the person who's feeling guilty and a relationship from the situation that might have inspired that guilt. But there is always maybe something that is just out of frame or a little bit different or a little bit unseen, I should say. I think that's really what I picked up on the record is the guilt that I feel is maybe not apparent to everybody else. It's internalized.
Can you describe the album cover? Because it's pretty eerie.
It's from a magazine. Not quite sure on the age. The artist is William Trude. And it shows a dog that's been muzzled sitting in front of a duck that's been killed. And just in the corner behind a door, there's a cat peeking out. So I guess the implication is that the dog was held responsible for murdering the duckling, but the cat's just off in the wings. So it's kind of open to interpretation as far as who's really responsible.
What a find, one of those thrift store treasures.
Yeah.
You mentioned anxiety and, you know, being anxious about being on the podcast and how it affects your life, especially in regards to being a musician and the challenges that you face there.
I feel like it directly has impact on being a musician. The first thing that comes to mind is performing, obviously something that I have trouble with. I tend to make myself ill before shows a lot of the time. I get feeling of nervousness, butterflies, and it sometimes will manifest into physically being sick, like throwing up or gagging or that type of thing. It stems from the domino effect of negative thoughts can sometimes lead to negative outcomes. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, what if the show doesn't go well? Or what if I don't play right? And that can sometimes manifest into reality. And then I'm not playing very well. And then I'm letting the rest of the band down. And it's just like an ongoing cycle. It's hard to stop that once it starts to happen. It does help to put myself in the present, because I think a lot of that does come from being worried about the future. So kind of checking in and reminding myself that it is anxiety that's making me feel these things and taking a minute and processing that sometimes can help. It doesn't always help. I think it's a good starting place for dealing with that.
Some folks are stage anxiety or anticipation anxiety. And other people just get up there and just no fear in the world. And there's those two different styles of doing a show, having physical manifestations of anxiety. And I've heard about that before with other people. But once you're up there, then what happens? Do you enter sort of a non-anxious zone at that point? Or are you still kind of like nervous on stage?
Well, it goes both ways. Sometimes I can just be in the moment, and those times I'm so thankful for. And sometimes it doesn't go well. I think you just kind of have to accept that that's the way that things are sometimes. And that's just the way it's going to be. I don't want that to happen, but it's also a little bit like a muscle. The more you do it, I think the more you do kind of feel a little bit more comfort in knowing like, okay, I've got this. I've done this before. With this band, there's been some breaks. We've been a band for almost a decade now, on and off. So it is kind of a little bit difficult to get back into the swing of things. People say, oh, it gets easier. I don't know if it necessarily gets easier. I think you just kind of find a way to deal with it a little bit better. If you have tattoos and you go to give blood, or you'd have to take blood, and sometimes the nurse will say, oh, you're good. You've gotten tattooed. You can deal with the pain. Well, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. It doesn't make it any less painful. It doesn't make you feel any differently about it, but you just kind of accept it, that it's something that you need to get done.
Going back to the pop punk bands you were in when you were younger, do you remember having that same anxiety?
Certainly, yeah. And it's interesting because my emotion gets tied up with my anxiety. When I first started playing music, a lot of the bands I was in, I was singing more as opposed to screaming. And as my relationship with music progressed, I found that the bands that I was in, I was screaming more. I don't know if that's just because the emotion comes out in that way. It just kind of gets bottled up and it just naturally resolves itself to that level.
Yeah,
since high school, I can see a progression from bands where I started singing in bands that were mostly like pop punk, Get Up Kids, The Anniversary, that sort of thing, and then went to more singing and screaming kind of mixed together.
Other than the anxiety you have preparing for shows, playing shows, how does your anxiety manifest in your everyday life?
It certainly manifests in my work life. It's difficult attending meetings. When I first found out I was going to be doing this, it was, you know, how do I prepare for joining even a virtual meeting? It's been difficult for me to do that. And certainly being in an office atmosphere can have its challenges. It can sometimes be hard to have any sort of like work relationship with people because you're constantly worried about being in that space. Going back to the physical thing, like I can sometimes, when I'm feeling the anxiety, almost feel like I'm a bit outside myself, like the camera's pulled back a little bit. And so that can be a little bit off-putting to people where they're kind of wondering, like, what's going on? What's he thinking? You know?
Then you go to a punk show with 400 people and fit right in.
Yeah.
Do you get that, where you go to a punk show, you walk through the doors and it's like a bit of a big breath and, you know, everything seems okay?
Yeah, you can feel the camaraderie and you're all here for a purpose. You know, you're all here to enjoy the same thing. And that can be cathartic as well. Like you said, it feels like a big group of people just taking a big sigh together.
Have you done any kind of therapy or anything that you've been able to do to help with your anxiety?
I have. I'm not currently seeing anyone or doing any type of talk therapy, but I've done that in the past. I felt like, and this perhaps is probably on me, that I didn't stick with it long enough to really see good results. I often got the feeling like I was preparing for our sessions. Like I would kind of dread for the session to come up. And then just before, almost felt like I was like cramming for a test. Like, what am I going to talk about today? Rather than just letting it organically happen and talk through the session to make myself feel better. I think ultimately that's why I stopped going, was because I didn't really feel that much better when the session was through. But I also haven't explored it as much as I think I should to get good results.
Yeah, and a lot of these things we learn ourselves. You mentioned before about checking in to make sure that is this real, and that's the concept from cognitive behavioral therapy, something called check the facts. So we bring in these things. I know for me, when I did courses and stuff, it was just kind of organically later and like realized, oh, I learned that thing. But at the time, it felt like I wasn't really accomplishing anything. And maybe human instinct is, well, obviously to take care of ourselves. Sometimes the best therapy is being kind to ourselves and knowing ourselves and learning about ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. And that's definitely something that I did pick up from those talk therapy sessions, was just being present and acknowledging that that's what I'm feeling, knowing that, okay, it'll pass. If I just kind of accept that the anxiety is happening and try to be in the moment rather than thinking about how it's going to affect X, Y, and Z later on.
Not to say that we can't all benefit from some kind of therapy. I mean, I've done a bunch of different ones and gotten a lot out of it, but I really appreciate the DIY punk ethic of actually taking our health into our own hands and figuring out what works for us and pulling in the professionals when needed and pulling in any resources we can. But ultimately, it's up to us.
Yeah, definitely. I like the way you put it, because that's how I approach a lot of things in aspects of my life. Try to do what I can first. That's definitely punk. Try to do it yourself, because who's going to do a better job but you?
Yeah, the DIY. And then that morphs into the DIT, the do it together.
Yeah.
The really cool thing about the punk scene for me is that whole idea of, yes, I can learn to do things myself. I can print t-shirts, I can do this and that, but I can also bring in other punks to help me do these things and to expand on those. And
yeah,
that's always been one of the coolest things. And I think that can be applied to mental health too. In our communities, we can all help each other.
Sure. I think being in a band has definitely helped me, because anxiety can lead to a lot of self-deprecation, confidence issues. And so I certainly have issues with that as well, too. And collaborating on something and then having somebody say like, oh, I like what you did there. I like these lyrics that you wrote, or the riff that you wrote for the song is really great. Like that helps kind of build you up and you all build each other up to make the thing that you're all trying to do, the art.
Yeah, sort of fighting that self-doubt by other people reinforcing your value and your skills. I feel that for sure. I always feel like I'm the weakest link in all the bands that I play in.
Me too. I don't know if you feel this way, but it's like as much as I struggle to even just be a musician, it's something I could never not do. I have to do it. I still can't figure that out.
So when you first got into the punk scene, do you remember where you were in that point of your life and what was going on for you?
I really have my friends to thank for that. In high school, I had some friends that were all into different types of music, but it all kind of like landed me and shaped what I like today. I'm really thankful for that experience, for them to show me the box opens and you see all these things that you've never seen before. I had a friend, he traded me his Fugazi shirt for a shirt that I had when I was maybe a freshman in high school. And then it just kind of all went from there. I had another friend that was really into like WPRB college radio. So he turned me on to bands like Jive Like Jehu. From the Crypt. I have another friend that turned me on to hardcore. Converge and Cave-In are also some of my favorite bands, but it's probably Cave-In and Rock from the Crypt are my two favorite bands. So, I'm so thankful for that. I wonder what my life would have been like if I had never met those people that hadn't shared those bands with me.
What was it about those bands and that music that really appealed to you?
It's tough to say. I think I just, part of it was like, oh, I think I could do that. But then at the same time, it's like, they're so good. How do you do that? Especially like John Reese. If you talk about somebody who just is oozing confidence, that's the guy. He just seems like he's the opposite of what I feel like. But maybe not, maybe it's different for him. And that's why I think this is important to talk about this stuff, because somebody else might be feeling it.
Looking at the record and the concept of guilt or the theme of guilt, what are you hoping people get out of that? What are you trying to say with that idea? The word guilt can bring up all kinds of things for different people.
Sure. I'm hoping people are a little kinder to themselves. That's what I'm trying to learn. There's a lot of songs on this record that are hard to talk about. I think you probably can hear that in my voice already. I just wanted people to know like it is okay to talk about it, even if it is hard to say out loud.
The hardest thing is the self-flagellating. Like anything you do, you got to hit yourself about it. I live with bipolar, so I have memories that just completely fuse themselves to my psyche because, of course, I'm constantly feeling bad about things that maybe happened 20 years ago. So that's a really good message. Stop beating yourself up. Take a break. Give yourself some slack.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of songs on this record that are about almost letting yourself off the hook a little bit. And even maybe perceiving the way that your reality is or your perception of how events are occurring or how things kind of manifest in other people's lives isn't their reality. It's not what they're seeing. You're bringing so much to the table. It can be difficult to put yourself in their shoes and see it from their perspective. And maybe the things that I'm feeling, they're not even registering for that other person in the relationships that I have in my life. I find that a lot too. It's like, I'm so sorry I did this or I said that. And in the end, they didn't even remember or acknowledge,
Yeah, and at that point, are you saying sorry for them or just for yourself? You want to find some resolve on an issue that they don't care about anymore or don't remember.
And that can be difficult too, because if you're constantly looking for validation because you want to tell someone you're sorry, that can be exhausting for them. It's like, okay, can we move past it? It was something that I wasn't even aware of, but it meant so much more to you.
Yeah, I like what you said about the idea of other people perceiving you in a different way than you would perceive yourself. Obvious, but at the same time, really important to remember because I can say all the bad things about myself, but someone out there may have the exact opposite opinion. We don't really know what our effect is on the world, what we're kind of putting out there, and we don't know how much of an impact we have on other people. And I think about my friends and how much I look up to them and think they're just amazing people. They could be having the same thoughts on their side, saying, well, I suck.
Yeah, that's why thank you for doing this because I'm just discovering your podcast, but it's so important for people to know. It's like you can feel really alone sometimes. And to hear that other people are going through similar things is so helpful. It's so important. So thank you for
Hey, I'll take it.
that.
When you write songs about these issues, and I'm hearing anxiety coming out in the songs as well, as far as the topics that you're writing about and singing about, what kind of therapy do you get in that, as far as writing the songs, performing them, the process?
It does help. It does make me feel better. We try to practice as often as we can. And if we're not practicing for a while, I can see how it's affecting me. Even though it may not be in the forefront of my mind, if I look back, I can say, oh, yeah, this week didn't go so well because I didn't have the opportunity to let some of that out. So I think that definitely helps. And then just documenting, I think, is also so important. It's just like acknowledging that this is how I felt about certain things that can be a release too, because it's like just writing it down is therapy in and of itself, I think. Even checking in with yourself when you're experiencing the anxiety, but the act of writing it down or turning it into a song, I think it kind of elevates it a little bit more too, with coping with it and coming to terms.
So you talked before about anxiety, how it affects your music and creating music, and also how it affects your work life on a day-to-day. Like, how are you dealing with your anxiety and how is it affecting your life?
Completely honestly, I'm probably not dealing with it very well. It is something that it's forefront in my mind. It's a problem that I know I need to deal with, but it's sometimes easier to say tomorrow. But more and more, I'm thinking it's got to happen today. I'm trying to acknowledge that and not be, again, not beat myself up for saying, like, I didn't do anything today. Just because I failed today doesn't mean that I can't keep working at it. So I don't know. I don't know the best way to get help or to deal with how I'm feeling, but I'm going to keep trying.
What are your instincts telling you that are things that you might be able to do or that you feel like you should do?
Talking about it is helping. This was something I was really nervous and scared to do, and it's making me feel a lot better. So again, thank you for that. I think just getting it out is step one. Acknowledging that it's something that is there and it's not going away. And okay, what are we going to do about it?
Well, I think you got step one and two there because you've got acknowledgement and you also have acceptance.
Yeah.
That was my conversation with Adam Eckhoff of Oh Are They? Oh Are They? Bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out the newly opened store at screentherapyhq.com/store. And for even more designs, check out Scream Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Scream Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
Take to screw a life.